My Life Story by Julia Gunn, Volume 3. My dearest Mam died on the 14th of June 2004. It was a dreadful time, and I stayed at the hospital with her until the end. Anne and Jen were also there, and Alison stayed one night too. Mam had suffered terrible pain with her back, osteoporosis. Auntie Ola and Auntie Ira, her sisters, were with us when she passed away. I can't write everything down as it is so upsetting, but the memories, good and bad, will always be with me. She was cremated at Aberystwyth Crematorium, and it was a large gathering with many standing. Dad had bought a large white lily wreath, and I shared the flowers on her family's graves after. Dad and I chose a granite headstone. She was laid to rest at Machynlleth Cemetery. I went up to see Dad the following day, and he broke down, breaking his heart. In the end, we were both crying as we missed her so much. On the day we said goodbye to Mam at the crematorium, and after the lovely food we'd had at Letty Gwyn, Aberystwyth, my sisters and I went back to Dad's house. He shared some of Mam's jewellery, as he wanted to do it while we were all together. I was given Mam's wedding ring, which was 22 carat gold, and some of it being Welsh gold. I had been promised it ever since I was a little girl, because I was the eldest. Mam had it made smaller for her finger when she became ill, as she had lost so much weight. As it happened, it fitted my finger perfectly. I was also given Mam's peridot birth ring, which Dad had bought for her from Clogai Gold, as Welsh gold from Dolgellau Mine, because I was the only one born in August. Mam was born on the 10th of August and I on the 13th. I do actually prefer Celtic designed jewellery. I'm not one for diamonds, etc. I had been invited to go to a surprise party in the Midlands on the 9th of October 2004. Mam's cousin Eilwen Rees was 60 years old, and her son Gavin was arranging this party for her. I went with my two sisters, Anne and Sian. Anne was a very good driver, but the navigator, Sian, was a little cocky. I don't think I would have been able to drive around such a busy place. We were staying at a travel lodge in Oldbury and arrived at 2:20 on the day of the party. We met many of Mam's family there and had a great time. Mam had one favourite cousin, but sadly he had died. His name was Gwyn. He'd been an opera singer, a tenor, also a very good chef, and worked at some of the best hotels in London. His son Gareth was at the party, and I showed him the little booklet of Mam's story that I had put together, as Gwyn, his father, was mentioned in it. The taxi we booked to take us back to the travel lodge never turned up, but we managed to find another one. We didn't like the look of the driver, so Sian and I decided that Anne should sit in the front seat because she was an ex-policewoman. The driver was Indian and was having a conversation with another man on his radio. Sian and I heard Anne say to him that he was going the wrong way, but he insisted it was right. Sian and I looked at each other. I thought that the three of us were going to be kidnapped. Thank goodness we arrived back at the lodge safe, and we laughed about it after. But you never know with three beautiful women, do you? Sharon, my daughter, was expecting her fourth baby. And on the 8th of June 2005, Sharon's little girl was born, and I stayed with Sharon during the birth. I even cut the umbilical cord. Then the midwife handed the baby to me to hold. It was such a wonderful moment. The midwife also allowed me to film her examining the baby while Sharon had a sleep. Sharon called the baby Kelsey Jade. We were home the next day. Ma came to fetch us, and my dad and Patrick were waiting by Sharon's house to welcome them home. My dad was very protective towards her, and as she grew older, the bond between them was so strong. Kelsey helped my dad to come to terms with my mam's death, and it's strange that Mam had told Sharon she was going to have a little girl one day. Kelsey Jade was christened on the 9th of October 2005 at Holy Trinity Church, Corris, by the Reverend Geraint ap Iorwerth. Her godparents were Jane and Brian Vaughan. There was food afterwards prepared by your Uncle Pat. He was a chef at the Dwynan pub in Kynos. We had an enjoyable gathering of friends and family. I recorded it all on film and Ray took plenty of photographs. Ray and I have bought Kelsey's christening gown, etc., and she still dresses her doll in it now at my house. Kelsey's name is at the beginning of the new baptism book at the church, whereas her brother's are on the last page of the old one, which is now at the archives in Dolgelli. I've always had my grandchildren down almost every Saturday since they were born, also quite a few sleepovers. I had so much fun with them, even though it was very tiring. The boys have now grown up and I don't see them very often, but I have loads of films of all the good times we had. I've made copies for each one, which are saved in their special memory boxes with love from 9 Jew. My favourite Saturday was when I took the boys down by the river in Caicinus, where my mum used to take us. It was a very hot day and we took a picnic, also ships, etc., to play with. The mud by the river was extremely wet, as the cows had been walking in it, but they thought it was funny when their wellies were being sucked down and they couldn't move. I think it was Kieran who had to abandon his wellies, and by now they were all filthy, so they washed their clothes in the river, laughing so much before going home. Kelsey also has lots of sleepovers too. Once she had a bath with candles lit all around her, then went to watch Tide Ray printing photos in his dark room. We'd put her camp bed on the landing and left the hall light on all night for her. Kelsey also has had many, many sleepovers here throughout her childhood. Remembrance Sunday this year coincides with the 11th of November Armistice Day. It also happens to be 30 years since Ray served in Belize and Northern Ireland and 25 years since Ray narrowly missed service in the Falklands War. In addition to all that, this year marked the end of the military campaign to maintain peace in Northern Ireland. This 38-year campaign was, I believe, the longest continuous one in British military history. Ray and I each decided individually that we would like to attend a Remembrance Day parade this year, and we were delighted when we found out that not only did we both want to go, but we had even picked Corris as our preferred venue. The service is also one of the first to be held in the Institute since its major renovation and reopening to the people of Corris. Connor and Kieran said they would like to come too, so it was quite a family outing setting out from the Reval. The service was held inside the Institute and conducted by the Reverend Richard Staunton from Upper Corris. It was a relatively informal but moving service and not too long. The boys enjoyed it and behaved extremely well, raising many appreciative comments from other members of the congregation. Many said how nice it was to see youngsters attending a memorial service of this kind and how smart and polite they were. After the service, wreaths were laid in the front window and then turned to face outwards so that passers-by could see them properly. I put a copy of a page from the Commonwealth War Graves Commission website with the wreaths. It noted the death of my great-uncle John Corriswyn Thomas, who was a member of the Royal Army Medical Corps. He was killed on Friday the 29th of May 1942, aged 26, in Libya. His name is inscribed on the 1939 to 1945 war memorial in the outer porch of the Institute. Although Corriswyn Thomas is buried in a war grave in Libya, his name is inscribed on his mother's gravestone in the Rehoboth Cemetery in Corris, and this is what we had come to see. And to the right of the grave is his sister, Ellen Jones, and her husband, John Gomez Jones. These are the boys' great-great-grandparents on their mother's side. Corriswyn's mother was their great-great-great-grandmother. After inspecting the stones and having a brief lesson in their family history from me, they put their Remembrance Day poppies into a vase in front of the gravestone with Corriswyn's name on it. We said our farewells to the family and walked back to the car. As we were not far from Aberlleveni, we decided to carry on that direction and show the boys the quarry where their tied Ken worked and lived for a while when I was a small baby. After that, it really was time to go home on this cold November day. We were all glad we went though. On the 23rd of March 2008, I decided to have an Easter egg hunt in my garden for the grandchildren. I'd already bought a bubble machine for them, and there were small buckets containing Easter eggs at the co-op where I worked. Also some cut-out arrows to place around the garden to add to the adventure. It was great fun to see little Kelsey's face when she found an egg. The boys were very good with Kelsey, and I'm sure they let her find most of the eggs to fill her bucket. I can remember when Sharon was little, insisting on having her Easter egg on the dressing table in the bedroom. Patrick wanted his there too, so I gave in, but they had to promise not to eat it until Easter Sunday. It shows how naive I was, because when Sunday arrived, there was only the front half of the egg still intact. They had eaten the back halves. I think they were hoping to eat them before I discovered it. I'm almost sure it was Sharon's plan.